Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. So check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. Got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about a sponsor, Music Masters Collective. They're a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere. Every week, they host different events, all with the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like Oteil Burbridge, Trouble No More, former members of The Band, Milk Carton Kids, Nikki Glaspie, Bill Frisell, Sean Colvin, and many more. This June, join the Fab Four, Joan Osborne, John Sebastian, Marshall Crenshaw, and a great group of faculty for the debut of Magical Mystery Camp. This all-inclusive, once-in-a-lifetime music vacation experience in the heart of the Catskills will be packed with nightly performances, workshops, speakers, song circles, open mics, and a lot more. If you're a performing musician at any level, bring your instrument. If you're a music lover, bring your good spirit. It's an amazing experience for individuals, friends, and couples alike. Registration is open, spots are filling up, so check it out soon. And scholarships are available. Check out magicalmysterycamp.com/helpingfriendly to learn more.
So, you guys have what you need for summer tour?
I have my big floppy hat.
Yes, I have my prescription medicines.
I have my tickets, I think. Oh, and my earplugs from EarDial.
We're happy to have EarDial as a sponsor. They provide invisible, high-fidelity hearing protection so you don't mess up your ears at concerts.
They're some of the most comfortable earplugs I've worn. They fit well, they block out the background noise, and they let the music shine through.
EarDial is offering our listeners 20% off their earplugs, which you can find at eardial.com/Osiris. Seriously, we recommend these earplugs. I've used a lot of earplugs. These are the best ones I've used. We hope to see you at a show this summer sporting them. Check out eardial.com/Osiris to pick up some today. Hey everybody, welcome to the Helping Friendly podcast. This is a quick hit for the show June 14th, 2019 at Bonnaroo 2019. This is Matt here, and on the line with me I have David, who is at Bonnaroo still. How's it going, David?
It's going great. Good morning.
I thank you for joining us. I know the band went super late last night. I stayed up and listened to it myself, and you were there and may have been getting into some fun afterwards. So I'm sure you're,
yes.
I'm sure you're super tired.
Yes.
But let me start by asking you about kind of the scene down there. Have you been to Bonnaroo before?
I have not been to Bonnaroo before. This is my first time.
Ah, okay.
Obviously, the boys playing two nights was part of what got me here.
Gotcha.
So it is a very great scene. I'll have to say that I don't know who paid off the weather gods, but it is just for June in Tennessee, it is just beautiful. I mean, I don't think it cracked 80 yesterday. It was cold at showtime, probably in the upper 50s. So just, again, from some of the stories I've heard from Bonnaroo in years past, we really lucked out on the weather.
Yeah, I haven't been there in about 15 years, but that's part of the reason why I haven't gone back, because when I was there, it was just ungodly hot every day. And you were either dealing with, no rain and it was a dust storm everywhere, or like torrential downpour and the entire place was mud. So sounds like you guys have been in pretty good shape so far.
Yeah.
So what's your situation down there? You just Gen Pop camping, or did you do a VIP experience or anything like that?
No, we're actually staying off site in a lake house about 30 minutes away.
Oh, okay, cool.
So we just kind of sprung for the driver for last night, and then Sunday night we'll kind of drive ourselves today. And then I've got a friend in the music industry in Nashville, so we've got artist badges. So we're a little, we have a little bit different access just in terms of getting in and out. So I don't know if I can speak to the general. I haven't spent a lot of time in Centaroo. I did walk around some last night before the show, checked out the Avits a little bit, went over and saw Grizz for a little while. I can tell you that after some of those experiences, I feel old. especially walking through the Grizz crowd. With my tweezer shirt on, I got some looks. But in general, I mean, the festival is very well run. I mean, people seem to be having a good time. Again, the weather has kind of made it so that nobody's dealing with externalities that might take away the good vibes.
Yeah, I have to say, people have talked about the legacy of Bonnaroo kind of evolving out of the Phish organization. But I would say my experience when I was there, and once again, I haven't been there since like 2005, but I felt like Bonnaroo was kind of like the Disney World of festivals, and similarly with Phish festivals. It's like there's a lot of other festivals out there, and a lot of them are very good, but like they are just on a different level in terms of the organization and level of, professionalism about everything that they do.
It's really impressive. And again, because of our artist badges, which again, there are tons of people with these, just because there are tons of artists and everybody can put their, industry people, and everybody has their list. There are all these like ways for us to scan our RFID badges in and out. I will say, I'll share a stat that I heard from one of the organizers, that of all the people that come to the festival, 10% don't ever leave the campgrounds. So 10% of the wristbands are never scanned in at Centaroo.
That is insane. So at Bonnaroo, that's what, like 7,000 people that show up there and
easily just never leave the campgrounds.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I hope those people then make it out okay.
And then I guess the other stat is that there are about 5% scan in on the first day and never scan back out. So they never leave the festival, which means they're obviously sleeping there or just kind of going for 3 days straight. So those are a couple of stats that I was really blown away.
Wow.
By.
That's pretty amazing. It's funny that they don't like sweep those people out at the end of the night or.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who else are you there to see? Any other sets you're really excited about?
Well, I have to say, and gearing up to talk about Phish, Childish Gambino blew the entire place away last night.
Really?
I really had no, I was excited to see him. I've seen that video, but I can't say that I know a lot of his other music. And he came out and really destroyed the place. A really amazing show. His dancing and his singing and his band and the lights. He was kind of on a riser. He came up to start the show and this riser kind of in front of the soundboard, like the spinning thing. It was almost a hard act to follow for Phish, because you could definitely tell that there was more interest in that. And again, the younger crowd, it was much more packed where we were for, for Childish Gambino than it was for Phish.
So that's actually a good lead. And I was going to ask you about, like, you know, what the crowd was like, because it was strange. We could hear the show on Sirius, but not being able to have any type of visual. I was kind of wondering, like, how into it the crowd was, and if people were just, like, dispersing, going other places. So tell us about that. Like, what was the size of the crowd and kind of the makeup of fans versus noobs?
It's really hard to say in that environment. You know, so many people are kind of dressed up for the night. It's definitely different than a show. Again, I'm kind of walking around in my tweezer shirt, and normally you go to a show and you see other people kind of in their Phish gear. I didn't see nearly as much of that. And I don't know if it's because it was a festival, and so people are into kind of getting into costume or getting into characters. There were some very interesting folks wandering around. There was a lot of glitter. The crowd kind of dispersed after Gambino. There were definitely tons of people, but it wasn't packed in like it was for Childish.
Okay. So potentially lots of other little nugs out there who were trying to get their first Phish picks.
Definitely.
What did, what was kind of the reaction of the crowd? Do you think they won over some new fans?
I think so. I mean, everybody was into it. And again, it's not like I was around a bunch of, people who I could tell were listening to Phish for the first time. But people were into it.
That's great. So let's talk about the show itself, and we can maybe put on the jaded Phish fan hats now.
Yes.
So I think, you know, the overall sentiment from folks last night and this morning seems to be that, yeah, we got a definitely a festival set.
Definitely.
But a pretty well-executed one at that. I felt like when I was listening to the show last night, I felt like I was hearing Phish's greatest hits. But it was like, if you're going to do Phish's greatest hits, they picked the right songs and they played the hell out of them. I mean, what did you think?
Going into it, I've never seen a one set show. So we were really wondering, you know, how do they go about doing that? Seeing so many shows over the years, there's such a cadence of first set, break, second set, to go in and not have that structure. We were curious. I feel like coming out and opening with Carini, it felt more like a second set. I didn't know if they'd start with something kind of basic like a sample, but coming out with Carini, it definitely fed on the intensity and some of the darkness of playing the late night set.
Yeah, that I want to say maybe the last time they played Bonnaroo, or maybe it was 2009. They kind of run together. They did the same thing. They had like a late night Friday night show, and it felt like they tried to fit a full show into that set.
Right.
Whereas like last night definitely just felt like a long second set.
Yeah, there were no ballads. There were no like, okay, here's a break song. I mean, if you're we'll get into it later. But if your break song is 2001. To transition from one thing to the next, that's a pretty good night.
You know, that's a good point. I didn't even realize that. I wonder if that was a conscious decision to try to keep the energy up for the late night kids.
Yeah, no bluegrass. No, there wasn't a lot of banter. There weren't a lot of antics. Even during Martian Monster, I thought that sometimes they get a little silly during that. But it was all business.
Gotcha. So let's talk through it real fast. So Carini, Down With Disease, Santos, Everything's Right felt like probably the first point in the night where they kind of got loose and took off. What did you think of Everything's Right?
I thought it was great. I felt like they were definitely feeling themselves out for those first three songs, maybe even some sound issues from where I was standing. So not sure if they were having some sound issues. I don't know if they get to do a set break in that kind of, a sound check in that kind of situation. The Carini was great. The Disease was very standard. I liked Santos. But Everything's Right was the first time that I really felt like they connected. There were a couple of points when I was worried that they weren't going to connect and he was going to ripcord it. And they pushed through. Mike really kind of pushed them through all that stuff.
Yeah, now they did kind of, it felt like the jam kind of got aborted a little bit early. They had a lot of momentum going, but then they went into Mercury, which I don't think you can complain too much about if you're going to jump off something.
I may be a contrarian. I'm not a Mercury fan. I loved the New Year's gag. I wasn't there, but I loved the visuals of everything they'd done. But every time I've heard Mercury, it's kind of come at a point that stops me in my tracks a little bit. I think it's like four or five different songs that they've put together. And which I'm willing to get through, especially if there's a great jam on the end of it, like the one from, I think it was Vegas last year, when they had that crazy Mercury jam. It was either Vegas or Hampton last fall, I forget. But we didn't even get that. Anyway, that's my take on Mercury.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, so then maybe you were a little happier with the tweezer that followed.
I was very happy with Tweezer that followed, and you know, you got to surrender to the flow. Sometimes you sit down, you regroup, you get through Mercury, and then they dropped into Tweezer. Tweezer was the really one song I wanted to hear last night. Last night was my 24 year Fishiversary. My first show was Mud Island 1995.
Oh wow.
And that was obviously the 50-minute Tweezer. I was not a fan going into that show. I just went because my roommate told me I should go. And so Tweezer is really the song that hooked me from that first night. So that was really special to hear that song, you know, after all these years and think about all my time with the band. I felt like, again, there was maybe some sound stuff going on. I'm not sure if Trey, it looked like he maybe even changed guitars at one point. He was kind of looking back at his rig a little bit. But there was one point it was almost like he looked back at his rig, like he was mad at it. And then he just decided to push through it and destroy the song. Gotcha. And Tweezer was really, really great and hit some really, really great peaks. And then they actually then kind of brought it back to the Tweezer riff a little bit towards the end.
Yeah, there was a nice kind of reprise of that, and then they pushed it into 2001. After that, pretty straightforward 2001.
Yep.
I think that's one that I could see them playing once again for the late night kids in their costumes and their glitter and
definitely
what God knows what else they've got going on.
Right. Right.
So I can imagine that was a pretty big dance party.
Definitely.
And then you've got a pretty straightforward Steam, didn't yep. go out there, Martian Monster, More. And I felt like Harry Hood was probably, along with Everything's Right, the other point in the night where they let loose just a little bit, felt more like kind of normal show Fish. What do you think of the Hood?
And just to say on the More, I'm a big More fan. And after some of the disjointedness a little bit of kind of the, you know, Steam, Martian Monster, the More really brought it back around emotionally. I think that everybody at that point, and maybe it was just because I was around a lot more jaded vets, but that, we were all happy to hear that. And then, you know, anytime they drop in the Hood, you're smiling because you know what's coming up. The Hood Jam was, I would say different. It didn't really start off, I'll have to go re-listen to it, but it didn't feel like it started off like a regular Hood jam with some of that quiet buildups, to the point where I felt like at certain times, you know, I don't know if we're in a different key. You know, it didn't feel like it was building on the traditional Hood structure. It was a great jam, and really went to some interesting places. Somebody lost some fireworks, from the staff parking lot in the middle of it that kind of got everybody going, but there was a point where they kind of petered out of it a little bit, and I almost worried that they were going to abort it, because at that point they were really nowhere near the Hood structure, and they kind of quieted it down, and then Trey found that little progression and brought us back to the peak to feel good about Hood.
Yeah, that was definitely fun. One of the highlights for me, definitely from the couch. So then we've got Character Zero to finish that off, and then they do an encore of Possum and Twee Prize. I don't know about you. I kind of thought maybe they would save the Twee Prize for the Sunday night show, but it looks like they wanted to just kind of bookend, you know, this concise show that they played last night.
Yeah, I definitely thought, and just back to the Zero for a minute, obviously it was a pretty standard Zero, but Trey was having a ball. He was running from one side of the stage to the other, kind of out into the wings.
Oh, cool.
which you don't really see him do a lot. And again, you know, after you've seen Childish Gambino, you know, walking all through the crowd and going up on risers and everything, it's almost like he had to push his game a little bit and get out from behind his comfort zone. But he was really, it was a great Zero. And Trey was definitely having fun. at that point. And then the possum, I thought that it would just be possum. And I actually, at that point, I had almost forgotten that they had played Tweezer. But then they dropped into the reprise and destroyed it, as always.
Nice. So you got that complete Tweezer, another Tennessee Tweezer for you on the anniversary of your first show, Mud Island. That's amazing. So, all right, man. So what's on tap for you today at the festival?
We're going to head back over here in the afternoon and try to check out Maren Morris and Casey Musgraves. There's a lot of good music today. John Prine is later on today.
That's great.
We'll see if I'm up for Post Malone later tonight at 11 o'clock. I got to save up for the entree of the weekend, which is two sets of fish tomorrow.
Yep. So have you seen Casey Musgraves before?
I have not.
She's
not
awesome.
Excited to see her.
I saw her a couple months ago. It was an amazing show. So you'll enjoy that. Any predictions for tomorrow night's fish show?
I have zero predictions. I'll be very interested to see what the crowd will be like tomorrow. I think that there's some people kind of feel, are people going to stick around for fish? I mean, I think the hardcore people and then just the casual fish fans will stick around. But, I think it'll be a much more intimate affair tomorrow night, two sets to close out the festival. I think people will be tired after the weekend. I'm sure that Post Malone is going to destroy the place tonight. And again, it's a lot of people are there for that. So we'll see who sticks around. And I'm expecting, a more straightforward fish show just in terms of the structure. And looking forward to some, maybe some guests tomorrow and we'll see how it goes.
Awesome. Well, if we're going to send the kind folks listening out with a jam, what would you suggest we include?
I would say probably the Everything's Right.
Okay. All right.
Was the jam of the night.
Excellent. All right. Well, we will send everybody to that after a quick word from one of our sponsors. David, I thank you for joining us. Get back to resting up and preparing for day three here. David is at France MOD. That's PH, of course, RANCEMOD on Twitter. David, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What is a city without its music?
The legacy of the New York Philharmonic
is incredible. Nearly two centuries of history. That's a lot of music and a lot of stories.
I was sitting on stage for the very first time thinking, I can't quite believe this is happening.
Join me, Jamie Bernstein, as we explore the history of the New York Philharmonic. It's the NY Phil Story Made in New York, a podcast about a city, its people, and their orchestra. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Nugs.net is the destination for live music on demand. They have a growing collection of over 15,000 full-length concert recordings from bands like Pearl Jam, Humphreys McGee, Dead & Company, and Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. So you'll never run out of live music to explore.
I've been digging into a lot of Humphreys shows on Nugs.net, and the catalog and the sound quality are really amazing. It's a great way to get to know a band even more.
I've been listening to a lot of Billy Strings, Dead & Company. Oh, and Wilco's on there now, too.
Well, I've been listening to the infamous String Dusters and loving some of the old Steve Kimmock shows on there.
It's available on desktop, iOS, and Android apps. Sonos, that's how I listen, and BlueOS. The Nugs.net team knows you love live music, so they're offering new subscribers a 35% discount on an annual subscription. Go to nugs.net/helpingfriendly and sign up today.
If you already have a subscription, give the gift of live music to a friend. Again, that's nugs.net/helpingfriendly for 35% off an annual subscription.
Before we get to this Everything Rights jam, I want to remind everybody about an event that Osiris is doing at Tonewood Brewing in Oakland, New Jersey on June 29th. We're going to be there, some of the Helping Friendly podcast cats, I believe some folks from Beyond the Pond and Fear of a Craft Brewing Planet are going to be there. It'll be a big old celebration. That's going to be in the afternoon before the parking lot's open, and you can go over to Camden and start your afternoon. So come see us 1 to 3 at Tonewood Brewing, Oakland, New Jersey. Hit us up on the web for more information. Thanks and enjoy Everything's Right from last night at Bonnaroo.
I don't think it overstates things to say that the Beatles were the greatest gift to entertainment and culture of our time, a secular religion, if you will, with their universal appeal and demonstrable impact on people's lives. I'm Robert Rodriguez, host of Something About the Beatles. With every episode, I speak with historians, musicians, artists, and Beatle witnesses, all in the service of fresh insights into the most joyous cultural entity the world has ever known. I hope you'll join me and listen to Something About the Beatles, now on Evergreen and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the corner of Gray Street.